Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams. Thank you for tuning in for another week in the Word of God as we continue talking about faith and as we continue growing in the Word of God. And last week, and the week before, we've been talking about the reality of knowing the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to just continue in that same flow as we begin to and continue to be reminded of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Lord, we just thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Holy Spirit as our comforter to lead us and guide us into all truth. And we just pray, God, that every person knows, becomes more aware of the reality of your presence, not just around us, God, or even up in heaven, Lord, but your presence indwelling us as the Holy Spirit, our power, Lord. And we thank you, God, that reality, Lord, would enable us to be more effective for your kingdom, that it would enable us, God, to be more impactful, God, to be greater witnesses for you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it has been just so rich just studying and learning and just being reminded of the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, and we discussed how God has said to us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest sin, the greatest thing that you can do against your body is sexual immorality and to sin sexually against your body. And that is a defilement. And that is, you know, and why is that? Why is there such an emphasis on the body and sexual immorality? Well, it's because God has already said that our bodies are his temple. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which you are the temple, which we are the temple of God." And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, made a distinction between sins that are outside of our body and sins that are done within our body. And he was emphasizing the fact that the Holy Spirit no longer lives in temples and buildings that are made by man, like in the Old Testament, but he now lives in tabernacles that God made himself, that were made by God. That is us, sons and daughters of God. We are his tabernacle now. We are his dwelling place. That is part of our benefit of the new covenant, the new testament that we have in and through Christ Jesus. So the scripture that I want to look at today is out of 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. And, you know, the ones who are believers, the ones who are, you know, set apart ones, who are children of God, those are the ones that are the body of Christ. We as believers are the body of Christ. We as believers are the body of Christ. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you have that opportunity to make him the Lord of your life. That is the only way that we are going to be a part of the family of God, is It says unless the Bible says unless you have been born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so in their day, you know, Jesus, when he said that, someone thought, well, how am I going to be born again? How am I going to enter a mother's womb again and be born again? And Jesus said, this is a spiritual matter. You know, your spirit is born again. And then, you know, you are renewed in your mind and your body is set apart for the kingdom of God. So unless we're born again, we will not enter the kingdom of God. There is, you know, an idea, and especially, you know, in our world, that a lot of people choose not to serve God or not to follow God. And so they have this idea that, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ, or we're all children of God. Well, we are all, in a sense, children of God because he created us. But we're not all children of God in the sense that not everyone is submitted to God. Not everyone is pleasing God. Not everyone is walking in his ways. There are people who choose not to. They choose to reject God, and essentially they're following after their father, Satan, who is the god of this world. And so I wanted to make that distinction that, you know, not everyone is a part of the body of Christ. It's believers, it's those who believe, who have believed and who have been born again, that who are essentially part of the body of Christ. And anyone can be a part of the body of Christ as long as they yield to God and they make Jesus their Lord and their Savior. You know, it's not all these different gods that will lead to, you know, to God or to salvation. You can't go except through any way except through Jesus Christ, him being, you know, the sacrifice and the one who stood in the gap on behalf of your sins. And so that Jesus is the only way to God. He is the way. And the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way. Narrow is the path that leads to life and life everlasting. And so we have to choose that narrow path and that way that is many that is not going to be taken by the masses. It's not going to be, you know, walked through by, you know, the popular opinion or the popular vote. No, it's going to be found by those who have chosen to make Jesus their Lord and have chosen to walk with him and him alone. Amen. So 1 John 4 and 4. 1 John 4, and we'll look at what we can start in verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That's key. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses or professes that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Okay? And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus, you know, Messiah, Savior of the world. So, you know, and even in our modern times, there are many people, you know, especially Jewish people who are still waiting and looking for the Messiah to come when he has come and he is yet to come again for his second coming and appearance, which is at the, you know, end of age and end of time, which we are in those days. And I believe that we are living in a days where Jesus is returning. You know, time is ended and Jesus is, you know, on his way back for his church, and we have to be about his business. But those who confess that Jesus has not come in the flesh, they are not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. You know, there is a spirit of the Antichrist, and that will precede the man of lawlessness himself, the actual manifestation of the person, you know, Antichrist. But the spirit of the Antichrist is very much in our world, in our society today, and it's Antichrist. It's just that. It's against everything that God is. It's against everything that Jesus believes and everything that he teaches, and we have to just be discerning. That's why it says, you know, don't believe every spirit, but you test the spirit, whether they are from God. So it says, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in this world. Period. Now, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, the ways of the world, comma, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I'll read that, go over that again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now that just, that says something that if we just read that, we could easily go over it and miss what the scripture is telling us. It doesn't say he who is up in heaven, or, you know, he who is, you know, here or floating around in some cloud or mist. No, but it says he who is in you, not he who is outside of you, but he who is in you. Again, we're talking about knowing and becoming more aware of God's presence, his indwelling presence, and releasing his presence and power that is within us. God is in us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy, and we, and I believe that God wants us to know. He wants us to be aware that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The enemy isn't controlling everything, you know. We see the things that have been happening, and especially in Florida and Orlando, the recent events that have happened this week, and we think, man, that's just terrible. You know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But, you know, that's not true, because as long as there is a remnant of God, there is the set-apart ones, there is the body of Christ on earth, then the enemy isn't controlling everything. God is in control, and he is wanting to move and to work through his children to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And so greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. We belong to God. We belong to God. When we gave our lives to the Lord, we made a choice to yield ourselves and to say we give up our rights, our privileges, to walk in who we think we should be and what we think we should do in order that God could live and move through us and to have his being. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you? That is so powerful, to be at home in you as the church and as an individual. And I believe that what is God is really saying is that when we become more aware as the body of Christ that God isn't, you know, in the church building and, you know, we don't just go there on Sunday morning to, you know, to honor him or reverence his presence, but he's actually within us. And if he's not in you, he desires to be in you. He desires to make his residence and his home within you. So when we go to church on Sundays, it's not the building that's so holy. It's that we're coming together to fellowship with one another and to hear God's word and to be strengthened so that we can go out Monday through Saturday and be victorious and live the life that God has called for us to live in and through us. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, the Galatians. And so, but the powerful point to all this is not just knowing, you know, that Jesus is in us, that he is wanting to, you know, he is dwelling in us. But I believe the powerful point is that he's in us and he wants to work through us and flow through us to change and to affect the world and the earth. He doesn't just want us to be, you know, like segregated Christians, kind of just, you know, only about our own little life and our own little concerns and our own little world and our four and no more. No, he's wanting us to be aware of his presence in us, but then to release his power through us, to release his presence in us, to flow out of us. You know, we can't conjure up the power. The power, the author and the provider of the power is the Holy Spirit. We just are able to release it and to walk in it and to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, not ignore his power within us. And I believe that God is wanting us, and he's speaking to the church, is that we have the power, but what are we going to do with it? What are we going to walk in? What are we going to do with the overcoming life that he has given us? What are we going to do with the empowerment and the dunamis and the ability that he has given to us? Are we just going to just let it lie dormant? Are we going to walk make the impossible possible? Are we going to walk and make the mountains that are in the way be leveled and made flat? Are we going to walk in, you know, the power and the authority that God has given us to trample on serpents and scorpions and not be harmed? Are we going to walk in the power and the authority that God has given us to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to speak in new tongues, to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to flow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Are we going to release the power of the Holy Spirit that is indwelling within us? Or are we just going to settle for, you know, living the life like the rest of the world lives, with no power, with no ability, looking for help outside, you know, looking for, you know, always looking for someone, you know, help to come, to bless us, to pray, you know, one more time, bless me one more time. No, the power was within us to speak those things and be not as though they were, you know, to knock and have the door open, to ask and, you know, find, to seek and find, to knock and the door open, you know. And so I believe God is really wanting the church just to be stirred up and to be activated, to release the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the possibilities that have been made available to us. Think about this. We realize that God is in us. He's not just with us, but he is in us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And the word says nothing shall be impossible with God. Imagine the possibilities that open up when we know and realize that nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing, no hindrance, no force, nothing, no obstacle shall be impossible with God when we believe. That means God's indwelling presence within us, the Holy Spirit working in and through us, is turning impossibilities into possibilities according to God's word. And I believe God is waiting for the church, the body of Christ, to put God's word in our mouth, to put God's word in our heart. And because that's what the confession of our faith is, what releases and activates the Holy Spirit to move on our behalf. And we just thank God for his word. We thank God that the body of Christ is becoming more aware of their authority, is becoming more aware of the indwelling Holy Spirit that is within us. The indwelling Holy Spirit that is within us. We thank you, Lord. So when Jesus was on the cross and he let out a cry in Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51, he said when he let out a cry with a loud voice and he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent or was torn in two from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, but from top to bottom. Now, this was a 40-foot wide, 20-foot high, 4-inch thick curtain that separated the holies of holies, and it was torn in two. And Jesus said, "It is finished." And at that moment, God's presence was released out of that tabernacle made by man to indwell the tabernacles that he made, his sons and daughters of God. And it put us into fellowship and into union with God, our Father, and with his precious Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So when we put more significance on the spiritual things instead of on the natural things, then we walk in the power of God. For the scripture says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. So I want us to take the last few minutes of this broadcast, and I want us just to think about who we are in Christ and what he has made available for us. I want us to become aware of his presence in us, because his presence make us more than conquerors. His presence enable us to be overcomers and more than conquerors and victorious and victors, not victims. His presence enables us to be forgiven and to be saved by grace through faith. Wow, his presence in us enables us to be sanctified and set apart, pure. You know, it's his presence that purifies us. Not in our own works, but it's his presence, his indwelling presence in us that it sets us apart, that purifies our body, our soul, and our spirit. It's his presence that sanctifies us. It's his presence that delivers us from the powers of darkness. It's his presence, you know, Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling." It's God's presence in us that enables us to be delivered from the powers of darkness. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not partakers of this world. The God of this world is not our Lord and our Master. Now, if we choose to make him our Master and we choose to reject God, then Satan becomes the Master. But when you're in Christ, in you, by his precious indwelling Holy Spirit, you're not of this world. But you become partakers of his divine nature, delivered from the powers of darkness, led by the Spirit of God, redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, who is it? What is it that enables us to walk in all these blessings, to be called a child of God, to be called redeemed from the hand of the enemy, to be called forgiven? It's the presence of God. It's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that quickens our mortal body, that is a seal that seals us until the day of redemption, that seals us and marks us as children of God, that keeps us safe wherever we go, that frees us from all bondage, that frees us from all sin, that frees us from the entanglement of sin, that frees us from the downfalls of this world. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that enables us to be more than conquerors, that enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who enables us to be our strength, who enables us to be, you know, to have strength, to have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that says, I will be successful. I will not fail. Nothing is impossible to me. God is my helper. God is my helper. Whom shall I fear? It's the precious Holy Spirit that Jesus said, I will send you a comforter. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. It is Jesus' precious Holy Spirit that is with us, that enables us to say, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So we can say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? It is the indwelling Holy Spirit that seals us and marks us and sets us apart and makes us victorious, makes us overcomers, makes us more than conquerors, that makes his home in us, that gives us success, that gives us victory. Because, why? Because he is in us, he is with us, and he is for us. And he is just waiting for us to walk in our inheritance as sons and daughters of God, to be partakers of the precious gift that has been given to us. It's the precious Holy Spirit in us that marks us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, God, that it is because you are not just with us, but you're in us, that we can say we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We are blessed going in. We are blessed going out. We are blessed in the cities and in the fields. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's because of your indwelling Holy Spirit that we can cast all of our cares on you, Lord, because you care for us. It is because of your precious Holy Spirit indwelling in us that we are getting all of our needs met by you, Jesus, and that we are healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on his body, and that we are exercising our authority over the enemy. It is because of your precious Holy Spirit that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank you again for being a part and tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams, and we are just going from glory to glory and faith to faith. Tune in next week as we continue our series on faith, growing our faith in God, and knowing more of who we are and more of who the Holy Spirit is within us. We say success to you and success to the kingdom of God. Talk to you next week.